Fantastic. Today we're going to be talking about judgment. This morning we talked about that wonderful time we're going to have in heaven. Party time, in the right sense of the word. We're going to be praising God the whole time and just rejoicing together. And what we had this morning around the table, Lord's table, was the avant-goût, a before-taste of what's going to happen in heaven. Because heaven, we're going to be rejoicing and praising God for what he did for us, what he's done for us, and what he's going to do for us in the future. It's fantastic. We're going to be talking about 1,000 years, and we're going to talk about the defeat of Satan. And that's a wonderful thing. Satan is going to be defeated. Okay, let's get the... There we go. Now, what is the great white throne judgment in Revelation? Are we going to be judged? Are we going to be at the great white throne judgment? Some people think we are, but we're not. I don't think we are. But we're going to see scripture, biblical, why we believe that. Because if it ain't in the scripture, if it isn't in the scripture, it's no use even talking about it. I remember what Mr. Summers says, Senior. I believe he was a banker. And I believe that, we study, and he taught his people to look at a bill, and he taught what a real dollar bill was. He didn't go through all the different ways about false bills. He showed what was true. The bill. Now, that's what we're going to do. Now, we're not going to look at all the bad things about what people are saying about judgment. We're going to say what God says about it. And it's just like that bill. You look at the bill, and if you study the bill enough, the dollar bill they don't have anymore. In that time they did. But the $20 bill, you look at it, and you know what a real one is, then you don't have to know about all the negatives. So we're going to see what the judgment is all about. And again, if I make any mistakes, I am not perfect. And I would like to know. I probably won't preach this sermon again because I've gone through Revelation and I don't want to preach the same sermon twice. But if I study it again, I would like to know. So what is this scripture saying? Here's what it is. Let's look into this. This is so true. Now the great white throne judgment is for unbelievers. Now, if you're not a born-again Christian, if you're not part of the family of God, you'll be going there. But if you're a child of God, if you love Jesus, if you accepted his son as your personal savior, you will be there. Now, this, not at the white throne judgment, you won't be there. Now, this is something that I got from others, but I think it's on the good side. It's like a courtroom with few notable differences. There will be no debate about guilty or innocent. Guilty. You won't be able to say, oh, but God, but I tried my best. Or you can, God, I gave blood to the Red Cross. Oh, but God, I went to church all the time. Oh, but God, I put money in the offering. No. There's going to be no, you're guilty or you're innocent. And if you're innocent, you won't be there. So there's no debate. There'll be a prosecutor, but not a defense. If you know anything about judges, there's prosecutors and defenses, but there'll be no defense. You've got no defense. You have your chance today. Today, November. 2nd of November, 2025, you can make that decision. You can have your name, which we don't have time to talk about, in the Lamb Book of Life. You can be part of the family of God. All you have to do is say, Lord, I don't understand any of everything, but I understand that I'm a sinner and I'm going to go to hell if I don't accept you. And I thank you for taking my place on the cross of Calvary, and I confess my sins before you. Then you won't be here. So notice that. There's a prosecutor, but no defense. There'll be a judge, not a jury. That's interesting. There will be a sentencing without appeal. That once you're sentenced, that's it. There's no appeal. There will be a punishment without parole. Isn't that interesting? Now, that's not mine. I stole that. I don't know where I got that. Maybe that was from Dr. Jeremiah. I'm not too sure. But isn't that, look at it. And you know, if you've got a camera, take your camera out and take a picture of it and look at it at home. That's what I do all the time when I'm listening to sermons. But also, there's the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne. That's an interesting one also. We're going to talk about that. The judgment seat of Christ. Facts. Facts about the great white throne judgment. Everyone who ever died without knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Each person's life will be measured against God's perfect standards of holiness. After the Jesus millennium reign, where? I'm not sure. If anybody knows, tell me now or tell me after. I'm not too sure where this judgment will take place. Why? To settle our rebellion against the Lord's righteousness. So I hope that helps you. That's those are facts about the great white throne judgment. Let's read this. The great white throne judgment described in Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15, which we're looking at, is typically understood as the final judgment for the dead who were not part of the first resurrection. Many Christians believe that those who have accepted Christ are judged at the different times, often referred to as in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:10, focus on reward rather than salvation. Therefore, many interpretations hold that Christians will not be judged at the great white throne, but will already be with Christ. Let's look at that verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. So there's two judgments. One isn't really a judgment, one is to give out rewards. And won't that be wonderful if you've taught Sunday school all your life? God's going to reward you. And he's going to give you a crown. And then when you get that crown, you're going to come up to Jesus, you're going to kneel down, you're going to take that crown off, and you're going to give him that crown, because all the glory is to God. If we receive a crown, we're going to have the joy of giving it back to him. He's given us life. So get busy. As I said, I don't know who raked those leaves up, but God bless you. I always tell people this is a wonderful time of the year as a Christian. You know why? Knock on your neighbor's door. Hi, honey. Can I rake up your leaves for you? I'm not going to charge you. Can I rake them up? I've done it hundreds of times. And God has blessed it. Amen. I can't do it now. I can hardly stand up. But do other things. Invent things. We are not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. But let's realize what this is about. And books were opened. Notice that. 20 verse 12. Please look at that, please. And the books were opened at the judgment. Look at it. 20. I want to read it out, 2012. And this is just to whet your appetite. We only have 30 minutes, But I'm hoping I can whet your appetite to go home and get into this and study it. I certainly haven't finished. The 2012, and it says here in the Word of God, I saw the dead, both good, great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books, plural, were open, including the book of life. Now, there's lots of discussion about that, but here I believe the Bible will be open. John 12:48 talks about it, because that's where the rules are. This is our rule book. You know, people say to me, we don't live under the Ten Commandments. I thank God for the Ten Commandments, personally, because it gives me a little bit of perambulum. I don't know the word, I won't even try it. It gives me a little bit of way, 12, you know. It shows what I should do, Ten Commandments, they're good. Anyway, the Bible's going to be open at this judgment. The books of reference, in Psalm 139, verse 16, it talks about the books of reference. The books of remembrance, Psalm 56, 8, Malachi 3, 16, and the books of work, Revelation 2012. 2012 again says right here. So those are things that are going to happen. The book of life, Philippians 4. Let's look at a couple of these verses, just so you get the idea of what's going to happen. It's going to be, I'm hoping you're not there. I'm praying, honestly, I'm praying that you won't be there. If you've got Jesus, you won't be there. Let's look at that, Philippians 4, 3. Philippians 4, 3. Is it in the Bible? Yes. Philippians 4, 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, yes. That was a good song I learned in Sunday school. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Philippians 4, 3. It says here, and I ask you, my true partner, to help those two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of the co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. That's the book of life. One of the Bibles as yet unfolded prophecy is the Great White Throne Judgment, described in Revelation 20. This event will involve everyone who do not accept Jesus as Savior during his life on earth. We have to accept each person, whether they believe or not, will one day stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. But I'm standing before God if I'm going to receive a gift, a recompense. A gift, I'm going to get it from him, a crown, if he's going to give me, and then I can give it back to him. But everybody, whether you're saved or not saved, will one time or the other be before Christ. We used to say, choose just this day whom you will serve. That's what it says in the Bible. And today's the day for you to decide. Which book do you want to be in? Which book do you want to be in? Every person will. This passage is not meant to frighten us for the sake of fear, but to awaken us to the reality of eternity. Today, let us consider what this text teaches us about the final judgment. So I've got 3 points this morning, always 3 points. We're going to talk about the authority of the judge, as found in Revelation here. The authority of the judge. We're going to talk about the accountability of humanity, and we're going to talk about the awesome of the sentence. Are you with me? Following along in Revelation chapter 20, the authority of the judge. Then I saw a great white throne and him who had seated on it. The earth and the heavens fell from his presence, and there was no place for them. He has God, Jesus, has earned the right to judge us. He gave his life for you and I. He lived a perfect life, 33 years here on earth. He was our example. He was our guide. He was our pilot. He's the one that we can look up to. You can't look up to any politician. You can't look up to any sports person. And even some preachers you can't look up to. Don't look up to me. Look to Jesus. We used to say, O pèlerin de la ville d'or, toujours regard Jésus. O pilgrim of the heavenly city, look to the Lamb of God. Don't look at each other. Look at yourself and the Bible. Judge yourself according to the Bible. Not for the person in front of you or behind you. I get excited about Jesus. And some people say, oh, I wish I could be like you. I say, don't try to be like me. Please, don't be like me. Be like Jesus. Paul said something along that line. I couldn't say it. But I want to point people to Jesus. Because he's the one that died for us. So that's the authority. The authority of the judge. And remember, it's Jesus who judged, not God. God, there's a verse that will probably hit as we go along. Let's look at the second part, the authority of the judge. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, for his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was to be found. The throne is great because it is the highest court of the universe. The throne is white because it represents purity, holiness, and justice. The judge sitting on the throne is none other than Christ himself. He created, even creation cannot stand before his presence. Everything temporary will fade away. So God gave the judge position to his son, and he's the one that's going to judge us if we don't know him, the judge, the authority of the judge. I get emotional when I think of that. I think of all the people that haven't heard about Jesus. I drive down the highway these days and there's so much building going on. See all the apartment? Look at Matt Brentwood. Look at Metrotown. You go there now and you... And I said, Lord, how many people live there? How can we get to them? I go to one assembly called the 10th Avenue Gospel Chapel, and it was by itself for years. Now it's all high rises all around it. Just hot, 10, 20, 30, 40, I think I have 50, I don't know. I mean, there's just so many stories. But yes, Jesus as judge. Let's look at John 5 and 22, because that's where it says it, because some people don't realize that Jesus is the one that's going to judge us. 5:22. In addition, the Father judges no one. The Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son the absolute authority to judge. If Christ has the authority, then our lives should be living in reverence to him now. We must recognize that the one who paid for us is also the one who will judge us. Let us submit to his authority while grace is still available. We've got to take that to heart. Now's the time. Now's the time to live for Christ. Now is the time to show people all around us that we're Christians. Now is the time to be different in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Do people look at you and say, boy, that gal, there's something about her that's different from all the other ladies and girls. What is different? And it comes up so often. Judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ. the accountability of humanity. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead who judged by what was written in the book according to what they had done. According to what they've done. What are you doing? I ask you, what are you doing? Is this real?
Yeah.
Seems a little wet. Somebody put water in here. God bless you. No, seriously. It's a little damp. Could have a little bit more, I think. But I don't know how much water they need. But you pick up what I'm dropping. You're going to have a work day here in two weeks. Come. You might not be able to do work like you used to do. I used to go up to Anvil Island every work day and work my bones to the, my flesh to the bones, whatever the saying is. I can't do that now. But I can drive people up to Lions Bay, drop them off so they don't have to leave their car there, saving $60. Look, investigate. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. What book are you in? What book are you in? That's an interesting one. The books. The books were open. Our actions are going to be in the book. Our words are going to be in the book. Our thoughts, boy, that's a bad one for me. The thoughts are going to be in the book. Our motives are going to be in the book. Now is the time to confess, and now is the time to move forward. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden. No one is exempt. And that's what's so important. The judgment is not random. It is according to the truth and righteousness. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God, which brings every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." That's Bible. That's what is ahead of us if we don't accept. How can we apply that to our time now? This truth should awake us to the seriousness of how we live. Are your names written in the book of life? Have we received Christ as Lord and Savior? Because believers should always remember that our works matter, for they reflect our faith and will be tested for reward. Oh, but Ron, you are not saved by works. You're not saved by, for we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I like what James says. By your works, we'll know if we have passed from life unto death unto life. So work, for the night is coming when we ain't going to be able to work. Even Christmas now, I don't like Christmas. You know, here comes Santa Claus now. You know, I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus, not just in the arms of Mary, not just on the thigh of Joseph. I want to talk about Jesus who died for the people. But we can use that, even though we may not like all the Santa Claus stuff and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all that stuff, we can use that as a bouncing board to tell them the truth. Get Christian cards, whatever it is. Just as I said, we gave out all those testaments Halloween, and I don't like the little goblins. I could turn my light off and shut all my windows and go to the back of the house and watch TV. But all those little goblins, beautiful little kids, just, and you put the candy and the tract, three chocolate bars, just a little one, but, and they look at you, and the parents are all excited. Hi, how are you? Cute little kid. That's the way we can witness for Jesus. And then they won't be in this book. The truth should awaken us to the seriousness of how we live. Again, we are saved not by good work, but for good work. The last point, the awful reality of the sentence. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Death itself will not be destroyed. No more dying, but also no more second chance. The lake of fire is not symbolic. It's not annihilated. That's for eternity. That's why we have to do something now. That's why we have to get right with God now. That's the important part. If this reality is true, which it is, then we cannot be indifferent about salvation. Today is a day of grace. God offers eternal life freely to all who believe in him. Do you remember? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can never get tired of that verse. Share it every day of your life to somebody. People phone me up. And if the number isn't, if I don't know the number, if my wife doesn't know the number, if most of my friends don't know the number, you know what they do? I pick it up. I say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Click. So they do that. I don't do that. Every opportunity. People think I'm stupid. They say, well, they didn't get through the whole verse, but maybe for God so loved the world. Poof! I get that in. These are... I didn't fall. Okay. We who are saved must urgently share the gospel to others so they can escape. And that's what we are to do. That's what we are called to do. We're called to share the gospel. You've got beautiful. I love your table back there. There's this tract back there. There's this back there. There's a, take a look at it. And think of that person that maybe you've witnessed to for a few months. And maybe they're going through sorrow. Maybe there's so many good things back there. Clean that table off so the deacons have to put more stuff on it. I spoke at one assembly the other day, and different message, of course, and I took all these Bibles, Gospels of John, and I encouraged the people to take them home and give them out at Halloween. They were all gone. They were all gone. Praise God. Probably 20, 30, 40, I don't know how many. The gospel, we have to share it. The final judgment. The final judgment is certain, solemn, and inescapable. The authority of the judge demands our reverence. The accountability of humans calls for self-examination. And the awful reality of the sentence urges us to seek salvation in Christ. One question remains. Is your name written in the book of life? Is your name written in the book of life? We'll close with that. Close with that. Now, I'm in no hurry to go home. And you don't have to buy me a Starbucks coffee. But if you want to talk after, I love to sit here, talk calm, cool, you know, and if somebody has to wait to lock the door, they have to wait. But no hurry to run away. If you haven't made sure that your name is in the book of life, then you're going to be in the other book. And that's the book of judgment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these beautiful people that you have brought out, that you have put in their hearts to come, that you have goaded them, that you have said, go to church. And we thank you that they are here this morning, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God and how it's so real. And Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those out in Zoom land too, Father. Thank you for them. Bless each and every one of them. And whether they sit here or sit at home, we pray, Lord, that they might make the decision, that they might choose you this day. Bless all the different wonderful activities. We pray those that will be going back to China during these Christmas time, help them to take good gospel tracts with them to give out the airports at the customs. Help them, guide them to tell others about Jesus as they've heard here in Canada. And we'll give you all the praise and glory and adoration that you deserve. Amen.